Good morning and welcome to another SGR coffee break. Right after Pax and Carrie suffering Pax Pox. She didn't even make it to episode 8. We're only on number 6 and she's already dying.
I don't have Pax Pox. This cough that I have, I had this before I went to Pax. I was like super sick before I went. And apparently this cough, when I heard from friends who have it, they say that it lasts a month. So,
Have fun being all sick and shit.
Hey, at least my voice is better. I sounded like Raven the week before before PAX.
You know, some listeners might really find that kind of hot.
Yeah, my son said it was my scary voice. So I just go around the house going, whatever. Good times.
Traumatizing the children.
Mm-hmm. It's what you do as a parent. It's part of it. That's the only way you get through the day, is if you traumatize them properly.
I'll make sure I note that down.
But yes, it is the week after PAX South. I'm still recovering just because I'm so freaking tired. I'm too old for this shit. I am too old to go out of town for a weekend and stay up as late as I did. I didn't even stay up that late. That's how pathetic it is. But drink as much tequila as I did, because I did drink a lot.
I heard margaritas kind of flowed like a river.
And oh, yeah, they did. We went to the Loot Crate Saints Row launch party. And, they had dinner there. That was a big reason why we went, because you got to get free food wherever you can. So, and they had a cash bar. I was totally expecting to pay cash. I never expect at these parties that there'd be free alcohol. But we asked for frozen margaritas because, well, we're in San Antonio, let's have some margaritas, and the frozen margaritas were free. So we had about 2 or 3 and then somehow stumbled back to the hotel.
So how big were these? Because you say 2 or 3 and I'm envisioning 2 or 3.
Okay, no. They were about the size of my Starbucks cup right here, about, what is this?
It's like 12,
12, 16 ounces. 18. No, Saturday night we went to this Mexican food restaurant that I remembered. As I looked down, I was like, I remember that place. That was good margaritas, because they have all these different flavored margaritas. So we each got a couple of 20-ounce bowls. They're the big O bowls. Mm-hmm. And I got the peach margarita. She got a prickly pear. We were happy. We were so happy. And we found this tavern that's right around the corner from our hotel. We went there the first night because it took us 8 hours to drive down to San Antonio because of traffic. There was some construction going on I-35, and it took us an hour and a half to go 7 miles. So we got to our hotel at about 11:30. So we got there and we're like, where's a bar? And they're like, oh, all the bars in San Antonio close by 10. I'm like, this is not acceptable! Where is it? So they're like, oh yeah, there is that tavern right across, right behind us, and they have all these different mixed tequila drinks. And so I had their Mexican hot chocolate, which was their own hot chocolate, añejo tequila, and marshmallows on top. A couple sips is like, I feel warm in my tummy. We're all happy now. We're not stressed anymore over the drive. It's all good.
So you're listening, kids. The best way to party at PAX is to just get drunk. Just find copious amounts. Let's see. The next one is what? PAX East, right?
PAX East. Well, that's really the only way to calm down after all the overstimulation that you see all day, is to get the alcohol and just let the eyeballs slowly relax. But in PAX East, that's the only way to stay warm, because holy shit, it's always so damn cold. In San Antonio, it was really unseasonably warm. The first day we were there, it was pretty cold. Even Jen, who lives in Colorado, said it was cold for her, because we have the humid, wet cold down here. But then it got up to 65, 68, which is really, really warm. So we took her to the Alamo. And before you assholes ask, we did not go look at the basement. Been asked that so many damn times. Congratulations, you guys saw a Pee Wee Herman movie back in the 80s. Give yourself a pat on the back. There, go on, give a pat on the back. Very good. So I took her out to the Alamo, just because it's just kind of a cool thing to go see. and just kind of tooled around San Antonio a little bit because, I mean, as much fun as PAX South was, because it was the inaugural PAX South, it didn't have that many big names. There was a lot of indies, which was cool. So I got to play a lot of little games I probably wouldn't have played before. But, like, you know, at PAX East, you know, Bethesda was there and Riot Games was there. Capcom was there because that's where they announced DuckTales Remastered. But yeah, so I think this was kind of like, you know, a bunch of feelers, like how many is going to be worth our while. Gearbox was there, but I forgot Gearbox is based in Dallas, so it makes sense that they would be there. Arcane was there, sort of. BioWare was there, but they weren't showing any games because they don't have anything to show. But they actually established this BioWare base. So they call it the BioWare base. And every hour they had different panels, like about Mass Effect or Dragon Age, like about the art of Dragon Age, the writing of Dragon Age. They had, you want to get a job at BioWare? Come talk to us. Like, do you want us to look at your art portfolio? Come bring it. And so we went to the Art of Dragon Age panel, which was led by the chief art director, who went over like how they came up with all the color palettes and everything. I just never thought about how much goes into it. I was just like, oh, that looks pretty. No, they have this big formula of what they go into with the color palettes for every region. And so he kind of went into all that and actually had my copy of Dragon Age Inquisition because I brought my Xbox One down there. And I got him to sign it.
Oh, nice.
Which was kind of cool. It was really funny. His last name was Goldman, and he signed it in a gold pen. I was like, ah, I see what you did there. Yeah, you're cute. but as for like any big games I got to play, I did get to play. I played a little bit of This War of Mine. Have you heard of that indie?
Yes. Indie? Actually, I've actually seen it played it on stream a couple times.
Okay, I played it like for 10 minutes and I wanted to kill myself. That is the most depressing shit.
Yep.
I mean, I don't mean shit like as in it's bad, because it's really well done and it really hits the, you know, the emotion home. But I can't imagine playing that for an extended period of time or finishing it, because I'd be so depressed.
Yeah, the streams that I saw people doing on it, they would, like a couple of big streamers would do it for a full day. But you didn't see them really go back to it after they played it for, I don't know, like the first week. It kind of fizzled out on Twitch.
Yeah, because yeah, they wanted to slit their wrists.
Yeah, I mean, even just watching it, you're like, oh, wow, this is pretty harsh.
Yeah, it's very dark and depressing. And it got to the point, like, I was, you know, I felt like nothing I was doing was helping. So I got to the third day, I was like, you know what? You're sick, walk it off. And I ended up killing everybody after 4 days because I can't do this anymore. So I got to have fun with it in my own sick, twisted way. And even the PR guy goes, why'd you do that? It's like, I don't know. There's something wrong with me.
The PR guy is calling you out.
Yeah. But one cool, like, there's a couple of big things I did get to see, and one I got hands-on with, and that was Homeworld Remastered. Because, yeah, Gearbox was there, because that's where they sort of announced Borderlands 3, as in they're like, hey, we're hiring for Borderlands 3. That was their announcement at their panel. But I actually had opportunity to do behind closed doors thing for Homeworld, because they did not have Homeworld out there. I'd never played Homeworld. I remember when it came out in 1999, I had friends in college who were diehard into it.
Oh, and you know, I lost countless days.
And like game. I was you know, that I hadn't played a real-time strategy game, and probably the last hardcore real-time strategy game I played, well, hardcore as in many hours I put into it, was Age of Mythology, so that was a while ago. But that's actually not too far away from Homeworld or Homeworld 2.
No, it wasn't, actually.
But the original developers at Relic have been working on Homeworld Remastered. And they were there to answer questions. Like, the original artist was there, and he talked about, like, you know, how he had to do the art in the original and what he could do now. And when they were showing me everything, they actually ran the original and the remastered simultaneously on two different monitors so I could see the differences. The whole time I'm just kind of going back and forth, like, wow, this is so, like, polygons, textures. I mean, so It was unbelievable. And of course, they made me play, and I was all nervous because I suck at flying, and I thought it was going to be, difficult with the flying, but it was actually super intuitive, super simple. It's one of those, totally one of those that it's simple to learn but hard to master. And so, like, they set me up in a Homeworld 2 versus CPU match. And they're like, here's your ships, there's their ships, it's all up to you. I was like, oh, this is going to end quickly. And it kind of did. And it's because I just didn't know what the different ships could do, what their strengths were, what anything was. But it was the first time, like, I was like, really, is my hour up? Like, can I play again, please? Like, let's try. So I'm actually really looking forward to a real-time strategy game. I can't believe that. I mean, I know it's a remaster, so it's already been done, and but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I don't know. I saw they released that video, what, like 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and just seeing they do like the side-by-side comparisons too. They're like, "Here's what it looked like," and I was like, "I remember that. I remember how awesome it looked way back in the day. It looks like ass. Oh wow, they really souped that bubby up." So yeah, I'm really stoked for this game to be coming out. And unfortunately, I read comments and people were like, why are we getting another remastered? Why are they bringing the remastered shit from consoles over to PC? Blah blah blah. It's like, come on, people, let's just have some fun. Let's just.
Yes. Well, this isn't a remastered, like, PS3 remaster, because those are wearing on me. I mean, this is from, nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is and it's taking a pretty decent game. I mean, like you said, you had a lot of friends that played it throughout college, and God, we did LAN parties for that damn game, and it was pretty, yeah.
So, trying to think. Oh, and I also got to go to the panel for Pillars of Eternity. So there was no hands-on time with Pillars of Eternity, but what they did was, but it wasn't like a controlled presentation either. Like, they had a guy playing it, and they had the audience call out what he had to do. So, which I really, really like, because then it showed us, oh, this is not pre-rendered footage. This is really what it's going to look like. Although he, because we went up to this stronghold, and he said, he's like, so should we just go into the front door, or should we go around the back, which is the safer way? And everyone's yelling, go to the front door. He goes, I hate you all. And he went in, but he won the battle and was going to go straight in. Everyone's yelling, go get the loot, and he's like, fine, I'll go get your stupid loot, and came back. And click is like, now you see, everyone sees that I'm already here. Now they're coming out to attack me. You guys all suck. It was hilarious, and then he won that battle too. And he said, "Oh, I have a confession to make. We have totally like upped this character. There's no way you could be this powerful at this point in the game, but it's because I really suck at it, and I had a feeling that you guys would make me go through the front door and die." But he also showed what would happen if you went, the secret way, and they're showing like every little decision that you make totally affects your characters. Like, for example, like he chose to go in through the sewers, so they had to swim. Well, because they had to swim, it fatigued this one character. So you have like, but not all of them, just this one. It affected this one character. And so you have like those little decisions, all the scripted dialogue that can be totally affected by what decisions you've made, your reputation, your race, your class. So every time you play, you could have totally different dialogue options, which is, I think, really, really kind of cool. They said that the whole purpose behind it was that they really wanted it to be like another Baldur's Gate or Icewind Dale. And I think that's what they have done. Just lots of colors, very much prettier than Baldur's Gate, even the Baldur's Gate enhanced. So I'm looking forward to it. There's been a lot of hate about, like, oh, it's just like Baldur's Gate. I'm like, well, that's what they said. They said they wanted to go back to the old style, because it is, it's turn-based, but it's real-time combat. So the pause key is your best friend, just like it was in Baldur's Gate. There's also a slow mode if the pause is too much, so you can just slow down time. Or to re-explore areas, there's a fast mode, so you can just, zip your party on through. Which actually looked like a Benny Hill video when they did it. It's kind of funny. But another game that I think you will love, Chris, because I had so much fun. It was a retro 2D platformer. I know that sounds like every other game that was there, and for some reason, I accepted this one invitation because I did get, like, 10 invitations to try out our new retro 2D platformer. Delete. Delete. And for some reason, this one just really intrigued me. And because I had to go play. I was like, okay, I really don't want to go. It's a platformer. I suck at these. And Jen's like, you're playing. I'm not. It's like, you suck. Just help me out with this. But what it is, it has a really interesting story in that it's about, like, this, like, pixel kingdom. And the more pixels you have, the higher nobility you are. So, like, the 32-bit characters are the royalty. Okay. And then the commoners are, like, the 8-bit. And so the skeleton queen comes and she harnesses into the bit stream and absorbs everybody's pixels. So the only character who's willing to stop her is Pip, who is 1 pixel. So he's just this little block. And as he goes through his adventure, he comes across this ghost of a knight who wants to help him out. So he teaches him how to harness the bit stream so he can transform to the 8-bit and 16-bit versions. And each version of him has different abilities. Like, you know, the block Pip can, you know, he's small, so he can get through small areas because the other two Pips can't duck down. And so then the 16-bit, he actually can wield a sword and break down walls, and he can push objects, but he's too heavy to ride on things. And then, like, the in-between Pip, he can jump really high, and he can climb up walls. So it uses a really interesting way of kind of puzzle-solving with those different forms to get through. So I had so much fun getting through that first dungeon. So it's gonna be out as a Kickstarter project. It's coming out this May for PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Wii U.
I'm adding it to, like, my list of shit to be excited about later.
Yeah, because like I said, it was so, you know, just so different to have that type of gameplay. So it's like not your typical 2D platformer. And I actually didn't do too terrible. I was, you know, it kind of reminded me like some of the gameplay in Shovel Knight. So it's like, so it's not as hardcore of a platformer, but it's enough to, that you still have to work at it a little bit. See, I also played Shadow of the Avatar, the spiritual successor to Ultima Online. It is
wait, like the old Ultima Online?
Yes, like this, like Ward British.
Oh, good. Okay, go on.
This is his game. Like this is his spiritual successor. I got to play a pre-alpha build, so it's really, really in its early stages. And basically, this is a sandbox MMO where you can do literally whatever the fuck you want. Want to go do quests? Go for it. You want to build your own world and have other people come and play in your stuff? Okay. You want to kill other people? Okay. You want to craft and farm? Okay. It's all about what you want to do. So, of course, I was bored as shit within like 10 minutes. And Jen Bozier was like, can I just do fishing the whole time? And they're like, yes, you can. And she got all excited. I was like, well, you get down here and you start playing this. So I guess those who just love the sandbox MMORPG will just love this.
Well, it's kind of like what Elite Dangerous is. I mean, it sounds like you're either going to really like this game or you're really going to hate it, because it's one of those ones where you make your own story, you decide whatever the fuck you want to do, and you kind of do it and make it happen. And there are people that are like, I don't know, I can't do whatever I want to do.
So. Right. Well, I mean, it's not that I can't do whatever I want to do. I just get bored. If I don't have, like, the seeming purpose, I get kind of bored. And, like, you know, to me, this game reminded me a lot of Skyrim, which is why Jen got all excited and I was bored. Because like Skyrim, this one has quests. You have to look for the quests, but they are there. There is a main campaign. There is a story. There is stuff for you to do. But you have to go look for it. But there's all this other stuff you can just go do, which gets easily distracted, and then I get bored. And for Skyrim, my problem with Skyrim is that there wasn't enough of the story to keep me engaged. And everyone I talked to was like, oh, no, the story's awful. It's just about going off and doing whatever you want to do. I'm like, that's not me. I'm the more the Dragon Age, you know, this huge lore, overwhelming story. I like that. So this wasn't for me, but the fact that she was getting excited makes me think that, okay, you know, obviously there's plenty of other people. And the guy sitting next to me was a backer, because it was a Kickstarter project, and $10,000 backer.
Holy shit.
So they're explaining to me how he had been there since day one. So he had built this entire world, complete with an inn and quests and animals and NPCs, because you can create your own NPCs to create your own quests. And so that way other backers can just come in his world and just complete the quests and do all this stuff. I'm just like, okay, wow. All right.
$10,000. Holy shit.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to have that just to be able to invest into a Kickstarter project? Here's my money. Just take it all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I also played this other real-time strategy. There was a lot of real-time strategy there. Like, I'm seeing like a birth of more RTS games, and point-and-click adventures seem to be really coming back lately. So I played this RTS called Grey Goo, which I think just came out this week. And they had Jen and I play against each other, and I totally got focused on, let's explore around the land, and she brought in this whole tank army and wiped me out. I was like, oh yeah, I am supposed to be building up an army. I totally forgot. I was just out hunting, gathering resources, and exploring. Like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be building stuff. She just came in with her tank army and just wiped me out. Like, oh yeah, I didn't really plan for that very well. Let's see, what else did I play? She and I played some more Broforce together, because Devolver had that, which is still amazing. If you don't, it's out on early access. It's great. It's supposed to be actually finished, they said, by May. And I also played this game from Devolver called Enter the Gungeon. Not Dungeon, Gungeon, where it's a top-down 8-bit explore, and the best way I can describe it is if Legend of Zelda kind of merged with like the dungeon crawlers of Sword of Fargol, and it became a shooter.
This sounds very mixed.
And the reason why we stopped to play it is because I walked by and I said, is that a bullet holding a shotgun? And Jen's like, I think it is, and it has legs and a smiley face. And so you are shooting the gun dead, and they are these bullets that are shooting at you. Yeah.
There are no words, really. There are no words.
I know. I was kind of, well, okay. Like, it was fun. Because it has a lot of, it focuses more on like dodging, to try to get the proper shot. Kind of like the amount of bullet spray that was going across the screen brought back Smash TV flashbacks.
Oh, I haven't played Smash TV in so long. That game was so good.
So there's not that many enemies, because Smash TV had an obscene amount of enemies. But there was like that kind of, you know, just the bullets going everywhere. So you can't jump, but you can dodge roll, and you're supposed to like upgrade your guns. And basically, the point of the game is to get the ultimate loot, which is a gun that can kill the past. Don't ask. These are the same people who brought you Hotline Miami and Broforce. Just, you know, go with it.
Yeah, they seem to have a good track record of having good games. So
good games that are kind of silly. So yeah, so. There was no release date set out for that either. It's not even on early access, but I don't know. You should go to their website. It's dodgeroll.com/enterthegungeon, and just look at all the GIFs that they have created of some of the scenes that you will have to fight in. It's, yeah. And so you will look in and like, is that a bullet with a shotgun? Yes, it is a bullet with a shotgun. He looks so happy as he shoots you. And that was pretty much all I really got a chance to play at PAX South, because there was a lot of real-time strategy games. There were a lot of mobile MMOs, which, no, I'm not going to play. And every time I get an invitation for, check out our new MOBA, nope, not playing your MOBA. I'm sure it's a great MOBA. MOBAs are not my thing. And yes, I did turn down playing Elite Dangerous with the Oculus Rift. I know that hurts you inside, but...
I mean, I would rather play it with a HoloLens now, so really...
Oh, okay. Now we're getting all picky.
So, what was the... probably the one standout thing that really made PAX South for you, other than getting tattooed with Jen?
Adventures of Pip. Like, that was the one game that she and I were talking about, like, for an hour after we finished, like, I finished playing. It's like, that looked like so much fun, and it's just such an original idea. I was like, I don't have fun playing platformers. It's usually sheer torture for me. But this, this when I was able to figure out the puzzle, like, oh, I see what I'm supposed to do, and just get so excited and so much fun.
Awesome. Well, then. So, are you going to PAX East?
No. Because for the PAXes, it's on my own dime.
Oh.
And I just can't afford to go to PAX East. And it's just too hard on my family for me to take off too much at a time, especially since I'm most likely going to E3. I just got my press approval for San Diego Comic-Con, which I'm kind of like one hand going, yay, another hand going, I wish you denied it. So I have more than enough, but I would like to go to PAX South next year. Well, so San Antonio is just such an interesting city, and the turnout for the convention was huge. So that makes me super happy that there were so many people there. The funny street pass I got, you will love this. You do have to clear out your street passes quite often. And this one street pass I got, when you do street pass, the person will come across and give you a greeting. The guy's greeting was PC Master Race. Oh, I was like, God. Yes, that is believable from your effing 3DS.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
My sanity hurts at the current moment. Like, my sanity feels like you took a ball bat to it and just right upside the head. It's just PC Master Race on a 3DS. Go you, dude. Go you.
Right, right. It's very believable on your 3DS. Totally get it.
Whatevs.
So you guys need to come down next year. It's a good time. If nothing else, just to come and check out the Riverwalk and drink lots of tasty margaritas and eat lots of good tacos.
I'm all for tacos and margaritas, so...
I can't promise I'll get another tattoo again because I think I'm running out of spots where I'll get them. although Jen did say, because like she got a she got the Elder Scrolls Dragon like right here on her forearm.
Mm-hmm.
After she got it, she's looking at the other forearm. She's like, I want to get the Dragon Age Inquisition symbol on this one. You have to do that with me. I was like, okay, I have two Mass Effect tattoos now. And if I get the Dragon Age one, I might as well just put Property of BioWare across my forehead.
Hey, they might pay you for that. And maybe, send you a little bit of a free advertising check. Think of the money, Carrie. Think of the money.
I texted that to my boss, and he said, oh, Carrie, it's already emblazoned on your soul. Like, yeah, that's true. Because that is all I've been playing for the last week, is Dragon Age Inquisition. I just progressed the story last night after 14 hours. Because that's, like, how much is like, oh, but there's this exclamation point popped up over here. Oh, now I opened up this part of the map, and I just, yeah. And Ross is tweeting at me the whole time, get out of the hinterlands, you're going to be overpowered. And I'm like, don't tell me how to play, dude. I like being overpowered. Stop, and he goes, you're having fun wrong.
Yeah, you're having fun wrong.
Yep.
Oh, Ross.
Yep. So that's all I've been playing. I'm sure you've been. She have a little bit more of a diverse playlist.
I do. We'll just knock out the Elite Dangerous, obviously. I'm still playing that.
Have you flown into the sun again?
No, I have not flown into the sun. Actually, I traded all my bounty hunting stuff in and just picked up mining lasers again because I was like, it's so much easier to do while I'm watching a stream. I can just mine this rock. It's pretty easy. Yeah, I came really close to being broke, and then I found a great system that had a bunch of palladium and platinum in it, and I bankrolled the shit out of that. So I've been
nice.
I'm getting close to buying a new ship now, so. So like, you know, you want to buy the ship, but there's more than just buying the ship. You got to buy the ship, you got to buy all the stuff to arm it and, you know, do what you want to do with it. And then you have to have enough so that way if your ship blows up, like you have to fly it into the sun, or you accidentally go get a drink and your ship flies into the sun, you know, you kind of need to be able to pay the insurance cost. So
yeah,
there's more than just buying a 500,000 credit ship. It's the credits outfitting it, which is another 20 grand, 30 grand. And then your ship rebuy cost is usually a couple grand too. So don't shake your head. Don't shake your head. That's awesome. Miss. Oh my gosh, there's a question mark over there. I must go get it.
I never said I was any better.
Oh. So
everyone said that.
I just took a break from. I would jump on after a couple hours of Elite Dangerous. I was like, I should play something else. Oh, here's Destiny. I'll just keep trying to play that. So I'd play a couple missions and then be done with that. I did finish. I don't think you weren't on the podcast last week on the Evil Cast, and I said that I had finally beat Infamous on both good and bad.
No, we had talked about it over IM.
That
you had beaten it on good and bad because you were talking about how you really couldn't believe how different the endings were.
Oh, those endings are dramatically different. And then when I beat it on evil, I just kind of was like, oh, now I got concrete power, cool, whatever. And then instantly, like, just went and rolled a good character and started playing that. And on my good character, I was like, oh, well, I have all these extra little things, like, you know, you can smoke through a vent, and then if you go up a vent, you need to find another vent to quickly do it, and if you can do that, and then you want to fly you want to be in the air for 45 seconds, and I was like, oh, well, you just climb up to a really high building and use your concrete floaty power. So I just kind of started doing that, and then I finally found out that there's, like, little DUP side missions that you can start doing now. So it's like, there's a DUP raid, and then you got to go do whatever you got to do.
Oh, yeah, yep.
So, like, I should not tackle that part just yet. I should be good and just try Infamous First Light. So, I've been slowly working through that. That one First Light hasn't really gripped me the way that Second Son did.
Nope.
I do like the melee combat, though. But, again, it's still so easy because you just slow down time and you hit them at all their weak points and you're fucking... You just destroy shit. And I was just like, okay. And the story is okay, but you already know what happens, right? Like,
yeah, but you do, but yet you don't know how it comes about. And how it comes about is actually super powerful. Like, I was blown away by it. My big problem with First Light was how they really tried to shoehorn in the Infamous Second Son gameplay. Like, for Delson, it made sense why he had to, because they weren't originally his powers, you know, he absorbed them. So it made sense why he had to learn to do different things in order, like, you know, he had to absorb this, he had to do that, he had to, you know, get those, I forget what those things are even called, in order to learn a new power. But they shoehorned that in with Fetch, which to me made no sense because this was her inherent power. She developed it on her own. And the other thing that drove me nuts was the I'm just going to run through these clouds of neon gas that people have no problems just walking right through, ignoring the big clouds of purple gas just hanging out. It's like, no.
Yeah.
But, I have issues with that, but...
But those clouds of gas don't really show up until you start running, so I don't know. I've gotten to the part where her brother's been kidnapped now, and I'm like, oh, okay, so this is how we're going to play this out. Going to play the dickhead thing here, and... Yeah. Because there's so much stuff that you can also do. Like, I got sidetracked by doing all the hostage. Like, if you do the 10 hostages, you get some points. If you do the, I did all the carjackings and then found out you can do some more carjackings and get a little bit more points. And
So
I've pretty much just been kind of rolling through some of that stuff. I did all the races, got all this stuff. I'm apparently haven't progressed the story far enough to clear everything out of each district, so
right,
that part to kick into. But I mean, it's still entertaining. I wouldn't say it's a, it's, I'm definitely gonna say it's not as entertaining as Second Son was. It is kind of nice to play her and kind of get a little bit more of her personality, especially considering that you either, you know, sleep with her or you don't sleep with her in the main game. So, you know, I'd like to kind of know who I'm sleeping with, right? So, but
I'm glad you have standards, Chris.
They're low standards. They're really, I mean, getting to know somebody could be just like they bought me a beer and I'm like, we're friends. So there we go.
Well, one of the cool things I learned about that was that, you know, Laura Bailey voices Fetch. Well, Travis Willingham originally voiced Delson's brother, and he also voiced Shane, which is really the first time I've heard Travis Willingham not sound like himself when he's done something. So I thought that was really, really, really cool. Wow. But they're married. The two voice actors are married. And I heard in an interview that while they're recording, because they actually had them record together, which doesn't happen very often in video games, and she was like, you know, had her back to him, and like all huffy with him, and he's like, honey, are you okay? She's like, I just hate your character. Don't talk to me right now. He's like, okay, babe, okay.
I hate your character. Oh, yeah.
Which to me says that's how well he played it as well, that she was like having trouble dissociating her husband from the character he was portraying. But yeah, I mean, the story was about it. And actually, the other thing I liked about it is you haven't gotten that far yet, but you do see another side to Augustine.
Yeah, because I'm still in the part where she's like trying to hone all the... I just did the 10-wave Mad Rush thing.
Yeah, I mean, but you see that, you see it a little bit more if you play the good side, when you find out a little bit more about her, that she, her problem is that she felt like the end justified the means. And so she was like, you know, was that famous saying, like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Mm-hmm. She has good intentions. She just... You know, let's just put concrete blocks into people's legs. That's not a, you know, good way to make friends and show the world your good intentions.
Yeah.
So you see a little bit more of that with First Light. So whenever you finish that, I'll be interested in hearing what you think.
I have it on the list of, like, I should finish that first before I finish off this next one, which we're getting a guide, I'm told. Dying Light.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Carrie, I got this, and it's been fun. It's kind of like, what did I say yesterday? It was Mirror's Edge bred with like a first-person shooter, zombie killer, and this is their, this is their offspring. So I've actually been watching a couple people stream it, and they've been streaming it on PC, and it sounds like it's the classic case of it was developed for a console and was kind of pushed over to a PC, and people are having PC problems, because I was like, I've been playing and I haven't had any of these problems that you guys are having. I don't know what the hell your problem is. I'm, I think, 3 or 4% of the way into the story now. So it's a ton of fun, because there's times where you're like, I'm going to drop down and I'm going to kill these two zombies and call it a day, only to realize that the noise you made just brought in another 10. And quickly try to find out where the fuck you're going to go and get the hell away. And
so you've already gotten to see like how it differs at night. And
yeah, you do a couple of missions at night, and I've done a couple of times now where it's like, you should go to bed. I'm like, fuck no, I'm going to go out. And because you can find safe houses, and then you have to, in order for them to become a safe house, like, you have to turn the power on, rid all the zombies out, close the gates. That way, you know, you can kind of use it. And then there's survivors just randomly strewn about the world. So they're usually either in a fight with a zombie, or they start talking in a, you know, a higher end zombie kind of comes out of nowhere, and you have to try to take care of that zombie before the person dies. And I'm like 50-50 in saving people, to the point that I'm just like, ah, fuck it, they're all going to end up zombies anyway. I'm just going to kill everybody anyway. But, the story is, I mean, it's all right so far. I'm waiting for the real big hooked to kind of bring me into it. But I mean, the gameplay itself is a lot of fun, and it's really nice that if you're just running through the world, like if you just want to raise your agility score, you just run through the world and parkour through it, and your score just slowly goes up, so you get a little bit better, and it adds new powers. Like you can run at zombies now and tackle them, and I can run and slide at them, and I can jump off stuff and like dive kick them now. So that part, I mean, it's nice to see how it's unlocking stuff, and it's nice to actually feel like, oh, I'm getting a little bit stronger. And it's one of those things where every time you unlock a skill, it actually feels really useful, and it really does kind of amplify your playing of the game. So I also did the Be a Zombie mode. I did that for, I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes, and that was crazy. Like, it's like Spider-Man the zombie, because you do these things where, like, the projectile, like, slings come out of your arms, and you attach onto buildings, and you zoom in, and then you can jump up and do it again, and, like, the humans are running around with UV flashlights, which basically kill you. And then if you're the zombie, you basically use those, your web slingers, you attach onto the person, and it drives you into the person, and then you slam them on the ground and tear them apart, and the body blows up, and then you got to keep moving. It's
wow.
It's ridiculously fun. The only thing I don't like about Be a Zombie mode is how, and I get that it's because you're the zombie, right? So obviously zombies shouldn't look and see the world as normal people do. But it's all like black and white, and then you can just see the UV spots.
Okay.
Where they've kind of lit it up, and then you can see the person's outline as they're scampering around, but you have to yell. You have to basically like roar, and it will send out it's echolocation, so you see the little outline of where they're
at.
So the whole idea is that you're supposed to be able to do the echolocation thing, but your parkour skills have to be really good, because you have to really move, especially if there's like four people in it, because the instant you take one person down, there's usually three other people there with their flashlights, and you don't really get a whole lot of time to kill somebody and get the hell out before they basically kill you. So it's just so much fun when you actually get a hold of them, and you zoom, and you're like way up in the sky, and you're like, bam, and you just hit them, and then you slam them. Oh, it's so much fun.
Now, is the Be the Zombie, is that multiplayer mode?
Yeah.
So did you play with other zombies, or are you playing against other people?
You're playing against other people. There's a zombie, and then there's the humans hunting the zombie. The main campaign is also multiplayer. Like, you can open up your game, so that way people can drop in, and they can help you out with your quest.
Oh, okay.
And what the game does is it takes the person with the lowest, wherever they're at in the story, it takes the lowest progression of the story, and then that's where the people start going. So then, that person could be like three quests behind me, but we do those three quests, and then all of a sudden we're both on the same quest line. So as we're playing together, we both progress our stories. That way, even when even if I just decide to not play with anybody, I've already progressed my story. It's not like you have to go back and redo that stuff. It just nicely does it. So I really like that it was just like, okay, you have four people in here. We're going to take the guy with the person with the lowest progression, and then everybody gets to move along once, you know, you've hit that point in the story, and so that part was pretty cool. And I've watched some bigger streamers on Twitch actually doing the co-op stuff, and it looks like it. I mean, they had a lot more zombies, but it was kind of nice because like they were able to coordinate, you know, their attacks and triggering traps, and when one person's shovel would break, that he had time to, you know, scoot out and repair his shovel while somebody else was taking care of the zombie. So it's fun in that aspect, and it's drop in, drop out kind of co-op stuff. So
cool.
So I'm looking forward to playing a little bit more. I really do want to finish off First Light, and I did finish GTA 5. Yay! I finally did it. Yay! I like GTA Online, so I'll probably go back and play that some more. But that's all done, so the guide review will be coming hopefully next week. I have some travel plans this week, which are delaying that, so.
You leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow bright and early.
All right.
Yay. So, that's what I've been playing.
Well, at least you've had a little more variety. I mean, I just got like, ooh, RPG, you have action, you have a couple of MMOs, you have sandbox, zombies.
Zombies.
Well, I think we probably need to wrap this coffee break, mainly because I'm running out of coffee.
Yeah,
Kind of sad. Always makes me so sad when Starbucks runs out on me.
I get sad because I have like one more swig, but I know that it's cold and disgusting.
Oh, yes, that's true. And microwave just isn't the same.
Nope.
So, well, leave us a comment on this post with if you have any ideas of what you want to talk about, any strategy guide questions, anything like that. You can email us at strategyguidereviews@gmail with any questions. You can check out Chris and I's other podcast, The Evil Cast, at gamesareevil.com, which Chris will not be there this week. But I don't even know if Blake's been good about posting them. I haven't noticed in a while. So you may be all caught up for what he's been posting. You can follow Chris and I on Twitter. Chris is at Starvin, that's with the E-N. I'm at Crunchy Chocobo, and the SGR site is at Strategy Reviews. And Chris, keep on reading SGR and keep on listening to this podcast. We are now on iTunes, so it's a little easier to find us if you don't want to download it off the website.
Yay, iTunes.
Yay, iTunes. Right. Well, good night. Good luck.
Peace.